How about this for a statement? In the world of preaching, in the conduct of worship, no one knows anything, except that it can work in the deepest parts of us, and no one knows how or why. Which prayer will still our hearts, which hymn will send our spirit soaring, which sermon will change our life. All we do know is that, thank God, the Spirit of God is able to transcend the preacher's limitations to speak truth to our soul. We probably all belong to the generations who were given a home reader at school, some book that was required reading set by the English teacher. I have to say there were some strange choices back in my day. The White Company by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Ivanhoe by Sir Walter Scott. Truly not very easy reads, and in honesty I never quite got either of those finished. Not very attractive reads for a 15-year-old boy. I was grateful though when they made me read Graham Greene's The Power and the Glory. It got me into Graham Greene and made me want to read all his books. The hero or anti-hero of The Power and the Glory is a flawed and failed priest, described thus. He is the character upon whom the novel's most important moral questions centre. He spends the majority of the novel on the run from the police, friendless and homeless and searching for some sense of purpose in his life. His decadent, indulgent life as a parish priest takes place before the novel begins, but it is present in his thoughts throughout the novel as a source of deep humiliation. He meets his daughter, the product of a secret affair with one of his parishioners, and finds that his love for her makes it impossible for him to repent the sin of conceiving her. He often chastises himself for impulses and reactions that are very normal and very human. Sounds pretty bleak stuff, and yet, in spite of his very real failures and inadequacies, he is still able to do kingdom work. His weakness overcome by the Spirit. He still does good. The Catholic Church has a doctrine to cover this situation, to explain this little miracle, ex opere operantis. Those who preach, offer the sacraments, may be individuals whose hearts are heavy with brokenness and their character riddled with flaws, but the Spirit is able to triumph over these weaknesses and blessings come. Spiritual things happen in spite of, regardless of, the failings of the priest. Good things still happen. The miracle takes place. I love the TV series Rev a few years back and its main character, the Reverend Adam Smallbone. I like the realism of it and how it didn't duck the difficulties faced by this clergyman struggling with the pressures and disappointments of his ministry, his patient, faithful, demanding and apparently unsuccessful ministry. They were all on view, Rev and his vulnerabilities, doubts, weaknesses, leading to a crisis point when it all falls apart and he feels useless. He takes to his bed, he takes to the bottle, he hugs his defeat like a battered old teddy bear and sinks into miserable despair and failure. It's sad, dreadful and harrowing to watch because it's all too possible. Then he's called to a bedside where a dying woman needs ministry, needs his faltering, broken-backed ministry, needs someone to pray with her, sit with her, walk with her through the valley full of shadows. And out of his brokenness, the words of faith tumble and bring real spiritual comfort, bring transforming hope. It's very moving. It offers a very comforting reminder that it's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's not about our flaws, but about his amazing grace. The writer of the book of Malachi gives the priests of his day a hard time, and rightly so. They are venal and reluctant and compromised, but worship still happens, ex opere operandis, in spite of their shortcomings and compromises. We ministers work with the strange reality that the sermons which often seem to work best for people are not the ones we reckon are the masterpieces. They don't always connect as we think they will when we read them safe in the place of the study. While the sermons that perhaps we might reckon to be okay, no more than okay, can be the ones that people are most touched by and changed by. Who knows? In the world of Hollywood, they have a saying, coined by the scriptwriter William Goldman, who wrote the screenplay for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, to name but one. It was the year the blockbuster movie The Last Boy Scout with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis and some other superstar came out. Huge budget, big name cast. It lost millions. Well, the massive multi-million dollar hit of the year was Home Alone. A nice little film with a cast that no one had heard of. And the reality that was noted by Goldman was that nobody knows anything. In the world of Hollywood, nobody knows anything. In the world of preaching, in the conduct of worship, no one knows anything. Except that it can work in the deepest parts of us, and no one knows how or why, which prayer will still our hearts, which hymn will send our spirit soaring, which sermon will change our life. All we do know is that, thank God, the Spirit of God is able to transcend the preacher's limitations to speak truth to our soul. An amazing, reassuring, blessed fact. That said, it's best for the preacher to take their calling seriously, to do their homework, to be the best they can be, to keep the integrity between what they say and who they are, not hide behind big words and showy language. It matters to preaching and those listening to it that there's sincerity as well as clear thinking, so that people know that this is more than just a job you have to do, but a word you believe in and believe to be true, and to come out of the very heart of the gospel. So it's not about showing off or going for laughs, but being true to the Bible and what it means, what it's really about, which is much more than simple truisms and bold declarations. It means admitting there are differences of interpretation. It means that if we suggest it's simple, we're betraying the depth and the complexity of truth. Which brings me to you. Of course, this whole thing is a two-way street. While the preacher has to fulfill the demands of their calling, the listeners have to bring something to the process. It helps if they look interested, better still, if they are interested. It makes all the difference in the world if they come with open minds, willing to be changed, challenged, dared to move from where they are, what's familiar, to somewhere new that might be a bit threatening, or worse still, they might be called to act in a way that is uncomfortable or inconvenient. It's not about having our ears tickled by words that ask nothing of us. You need to be brave to listen for a word from the Lord, because you might just get one. And so the astonishing miracle happens. The truth gets out, the truth gets through. And that dynamic is not just for preachers, but for all Christians. The gracious gift of God that allows our witness, however faltering and hesitant and shabby, to be a work for the kingdom of God. And we have no idea what particular act of kindness, what caring listening, what prayer offered, what word spoken softly in the name of Christ is going to be the moment that kickstarts the journey of faith for someone, ignites the interests, stops someone in their tracks and makes them think. The seeds we sow that will bring a harvest in spite of the weeds and the stony ground and the birds of the air and the rags and tatters of our witness, ex opere operantis. Regardless of our stumbling, our fear, our brokenness, he can use us. And if we want him to, he will.